Okay, we're in Psalms. We're in 25 through 30 tonight. Let's pray, Father, as we look into your word. You remember we're those who take your word seriously, Lord. We take your word literally. We want to know about it. We want to know more of it all the time. We pray blessed to that end. We ask it in Jesus' name. Now, I think the value of Psalms is knowing God better. And I think I would just take a Psalm and keep reading it until I made it personal. We all have our favorites, like Psalm 25 is one of my favorites. Let's just jump right in, okay? It's an acrostic, but not exactly. The pattern is broken up. Psalm 9 and Psalm 10 are acrostics also, and when we're there, I don't know if I mentioned that or not. What's an acrostic? Well, the first letter of the first word begins with the letter Aleph, which is the first letter in the alphabet. And if it held up, the second verse, the first word would begin with a bet. The third verse, the first word would begin with a gemel, you know. But it's not exactly acrostic. The pattern's broken up. Why is that? Someone has said, troubles break the pattern of our life. And it's a psalm of troubles. It's a, my Bible says, a plea for defense, guidance, and pardon. It's a psalm of David. In it, there's, you can make it a personal prayer. It has requests. It has statements of trust. It has statements of wisdom. It has lament. It's kind of got it all. And this is a lot of people's favorite psalm. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. So some of you know the song. I don't know. I think it might be Maranatha Music or somebody. Or somebody put it to music and we sing it back in the day. It starts off with the word, the idea of lift unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul? That kind of harks back to Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, verse 7. Who is this King of glory? Lift up your heads, O ye gates, verse 9. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. And so then it starts on 25. I think these kind of build off, sometimes they build off each other. And I think this is one of those cases. So in the first three verses, we have shame. Let me not be ashamed, verse 2. Ye let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. So there's three ashames. And this, like, look at ways and paths in verses 4 and onward. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path. Lead me in the truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. So there's, like, a lot of threes, remembers three times. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies of verse 6 and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. When you see something repeated, it's, well, one for emphasis. But, you know, you see that in music a lot of times anyway. When we get to verses 8 and 10, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony. So we have way and path. It reminds you in New Testament that, you know, Jesus says, I am the way. And early Christians would call, you know, people of the way. Also in verses 8 and 10, again, we see instruction. And teaches. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. Again, so you see guide and teach and like that. Verse 11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Seems to be the central message of the psalm. Verses 12 through 14 speak of God's blessing. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seeds shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So if you fear the Lord, what? He's going to teach you in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease. His seed shall inherit the earth. And the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. I can't remember who it is said, if you fear God, you don't have to fear anything else. But I've always said things similar to that. Might have been Spurgeon, I'm not exactly sure. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Much there. Okay, let's kind of move on to Psalm 26. And this is also a Psalm of David. It's, you could subtitle it Innocent. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. When he's saying, I've walked in my integrity, he's not claiming perfection. I think this is a time we can say, look, I try to serve the Lord. I'm living for the Lord. And I don't think that's a boast, and I don't think we're saying we're perfect. And I don't think David's saying he's perfect here. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins in my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go with dissemblers. That kind of harks back to Psalm 1, does it not? I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Again, kind of reminds us of Psalm 1. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord. Again, you know, we see the idea of innocence. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all of thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hand is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me, and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. Now, remember, when we talk about our innocency and stuff like that, our innocence is because Jesus Christ paid for our sins. And that's kind of important. He's not saying, Lord, save me, deliver me, because I'm perfect. That's never the point. But you know how it is when you're walking with the Lord, there's a certain confidence. I put it this way in like the negative, like the unrighteous, you know, they're running away even when nobody's chasing them. When you have like hypocrisy and sin and you're not walking in the way, you're always looking over your shoulder. Who's seeing me? What am I, you know, I'm not doing right. I'm, you know, when we're living righteous, we're as bold as a lion. And there is a way that we live righteous and walk in integrity, and we don't have to worry about people calling us hypocrite. And it's kind of important that we do that, that we appear to be who we are. Okay, Psalm 27. And by the way, Psalm 23 through 29 all have some reference to the temple, to the living, or the temple, or to living with God, or something of this nature, being with God. Most of them have a reference to the temple, okay? This one here, like we were just saying, I have loved thy habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Now, when we're talking about the house, what are we talking about? The temple? Well, the temple doesn't even exist yet when David's writing. So when he's saying, you know, I have loved the habitation of thy house, he's talking in the past tense. He must be talking about the tabernacle, because, and the place where thine honor dwelleth, because there's just no temple, and he hasn't gone to heaven yet. So just, you know, take that in the, like Psalm 30 is a psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. And some people wonder, okay, is that the temple proper? Well, David wasn't around to see that, and we'll talk about that when we get there. Or are they talking about David's house, vis-a-vis his palace? Well, I don't think so, but let's keep moving. Okay, Psalm 27. This is a lot of people's favorite psalms, favorite psalm, and it's one of my favorite psalms. Well, parts of it are anyway. It's a psalm of David. We could call it light if we give it a title, because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Again, the temple isn't even built yet. Is David being a prophet here? Again, he mentions the dwelling of God. And it's the one thing that he's desired, that he's seeking after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Is he talking figuratively, dwelling in God's house, like, hey, I'm hanging out with God, as we would say it, or some such word? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's the one thing. And, you know, you read something like that and you say, okay, what's my one thing? You know? For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. This is very telling. This is one of those verses. We're going to spend a second here, if you don't mind. In the time of trouble, is that an idiom for the great tribulation? Is that the time of Jacob's trouble? I think so. And what is he saying? He's going to hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Is this a hint in the Old Testament about pre-tribulation rapture? Now, I want to tell you something right off the bat. Many, if not most people, would argue with me, but I see it clearly as day. I think he's talking about the time of trouble. God's going to hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. You got a rock hit me with it. It's kind of obvious to me. You're saying, well, Adam, that couldn't be in the Old Testament. Well, don't be so sure. How about Isaiah chapter 26? I didn't put a bookmark, and I'm going to I'm going to have to turn pages here. Isaiah, see, 37, 31, 30, 26. And verse 20 says this. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. Well, 7 years, if you ask me, until the indignation be overpassed. The indignation, is this the tribulation? Well, I think so. And I think there's other verses that say that. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth shall also disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. You know, this goes right in with like John 14, verse 1. I'm going to find that. I'm going to read it. And 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. 1 Thessalonians, because I'm on a roll now. I'm just going to keep going here along this vein. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, if somebody's telling me we have to go through the tribulation or half the tribulation or anything like that, you're as comforting as Job's friends to me, okay? If that's how you're going to comfort me, well, hard pass, okay? So I think back to Psalm 27, and think of this, because it's for in the time of trouble. So verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Now, it could be, and I'll be honest, okay, because I'm not trying to push an agenda so hard that I can't see what it could be saying. Hey, there's a time of trouble, and Lord, hide me from it. It could say that. And I think it does, because I don't think, you know, David's saying, Lord, I want you to do pre-tribulation rapture. You know, don't get me wrong. He's probably in a pickle, and he's probably asking God to see him through it, hide me, as it were. But even when, you know, David says things that even he doesn't understand in the spirit, in a prophetic way. Verse 6, now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praise unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger, for thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. You think, when did David's mother and father forsake him? We never read about that in Scripture. Well, I don't think they did. And it can be translated like when if, you know, with the idea of, but I will tell you this, mother and father forsake us. Like, what do you mean? Well, when you become a religion that they perceive as different from theirs, there's a forsaking to a degree. But we needn't worry about it. Then the Lord will take me up. He's a father to the fatherless. If you're spiritually an orphan, take heart. The Lord will be your dad. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. Because of mine enemies, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yeah, we're all going to see God's goodness when we're dead. It's not going to help us on this side of the veil, but David's saying, I would have fainted, you know, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Tough words, because most of us like, ugh, wait, you mean patience, exhibit like waitingness. I can't do it. We have to. He's never behind, but it seems like he always waits to the last minute. It's his style. I don't know. But we're not going to move him faster than he wants to move. If so, the rapture would have happened when I was 21, probably. Just as soon as Suze got saved, I would have said, okay, let's go. And then, of course, a lot of people have been saved since. That was a long time ago. They'd be on the outside looking in, or never would have been born, or a lot of other stuff. But he's going to move on his own speed, much to our chagrin. So wait on the Lord. Be of good courage in the interim, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say on the Lord. He has to say it twice because we're not in a position to listen to that all the time. Okay, Psalm 28. It's a little, just nine-verse psalm. It's another psalm of David. It could be called Hands. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent, lest if thou be silent, I become like them that go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands towards thy holy oracle. You know, in the New Testament, I think it's in Timothy, Paul says, I would that men everywhere pray, lifting holy hands. People, like, I went to a church where, like, kind of Baptist in style, and if you lifted holy hands, people would look at you like, you know, what are you, some sort of Pentecostal or something like that, and then the name calling begins. That's just Bible. You know, we do that when we worship. We lift holy hands to the Lord very often. But why not? Our song is very often just a prayer with some music attached to it. So we do that. I kind of look at it like reaching out to God, and sometimes I look at it like surrender, but sometimes it's that reaching out, like that my hands are reflecting what my heart is feeling. It doesn't make you a bad person, or it does make you subject to ridicule, but who cares at the end of the day, right? Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracle. And by the way, people who don't lift up their hands, don't be judgmental in either direction. It's let people work out their whatever they're doing with God. Let the Holy Spirit guide and direct. I think that we should let the Holy Spirit guide and direct. But then the other thing is, you know, sometimes people act very, very. I think the Appalachian snake dancers would say the Spirit's leading them in that. And I, you know, you have to be careful. But again, let let God sort it out. For the most part, that's how I feel. Okay, verse 3, draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. We call that hypocrisy. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands, render to them their desert. Okay, my hands I'm lifting to the Lord, their hands, you know, give them after the work of their hands, because they regard not the works of the Lord, neither the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Okay, first is my hands, then is bad guy hands. Now God's hands are in view here. They regard not the work of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. What is the operation of hands? It's the works of the Lord. He's just restating the same thing in a couple different ways. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. Okay, we're making good progress here. Let's jump into Psalm 29. Psalm 29 is also a psalm of David. It's a creation psalm. If we're given this a title, let's call it Storm. God's Mighty Power is what my Bible. I think this is a Scofield reference Bible. I'm not sure. I just have to, Scofield Study Bible. It's an old one that I have here around the house. I leave my other Bible right there, my teaching Bible right there in church. Okay, Psalm 29 is a psalm of David. And like, again, Scofield people, they call it God's Mighty Power. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We've seen that a few times now in this section. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The glory of God thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness, and the Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. And by the way, we know Lebanon, the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sirion. Sirion's another word for Mount Hermon. And here when he's saying, the Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh, that's Kadesh Barnea, holiness, okay, is what that means. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discovereth the forest, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Okay, we're talking about giving the Lord glory and strength in verse 1, giving the Lord glory in verse 2, it's due his name. We're worshiping the Lord in beauty of holiness. And it's talking about the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. What waters are we talking about? Creation waters? Are we talking about flood waters of Noah's time? Are we talking about waters that are falling from heaven in rain? Because that's how a lot of people take it. The glory of God thundereth. That mentions the voice of the Lord 7 times, and it also mentions thunder. You remember the 7 thunders of Revelation? John's going to write, and the angel says, don't write that. It has something to do with Psalm 29? I don't know. When we talk about the voice of the Lord upon the waters, what are we talking about? You know, almost like, you know, Jesus in a boat, hey, move out a little, you know, so he can speak to the crowd? And is that the voice of the Lord upon the waters? Or is it hark back to when Jesus is calming the storm? The God of glory thundereth. Is that, again, just an, another way to say the voice of God? Or is there some this magnificent thunderstorm that's giving David this inspiration to write this? Who knows, right? I said, what is the voice of the Lord upon the waters? Is that creation waters? Is that Noah's waters? Is that the waters that Jesus was on? Is that, like, again, is it rain? Well, all those things. The Lord is upon many waters is what the end of the verse said. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. You know, he speaks to us in a still small voice. He doesn't always speak to us through storm. Mom said it was angels bowling. I don't see that here. And I'm only joking, okay? She didn't really, I don't think she really said that. But anyway, you know, if God would just speak to me, are you sure? I want him to speak to me in that still small voice. If he speaks to me like this, I don't know if I'd like it so much. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. That's big stuff, right? He shakes the wilderness. He shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The wilderness of holiness. That's something else, right? The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve. So we have this deer out in the you know, getting ready to give birth, and then the storm comes up, and all of a sudden, you know, it's thrown the deer into how many centimeters? I don't know how deer calve, okay? And discovereth the forest, and in his temple, again, temple there, see, I said it was at 23 through 29, speak of his temple or his dwelling place. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. And I guess the flood is significant because it comes up. We have the waters. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters of voice 3. And the Lord sitteth upon the flood. Again, is that just talking about extreme rain situation? I don't know. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. He's not up for re-election. You can't vote against him. You can with your life, but if I can just say one thing about that, that's not recommended. That's not a good idea. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, the word there is shalom. After all, the voice of the Lord making hinds calve and making Sirion skip and dividing flames and flood and all this stuff, it ends up with peace. And I think that's kind of quieting to our souls. Okay, Psalm 30 is another Psalm of David. It's about resurrection. It says, praise for deliverance in my old Scofield Reference Bible, a psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. I think this is the temple proper that Solomon built. You say, well, David wasn't even there. Yeah, but we sing music about written from musicians who aren't here. And can David write a song? I mean, he was collecting all the stuff for the temple in advance. He knew he couldn't build it because God had told him through his prophet Nathan that he wasn't given permission to build it. So he got all the stuff together. I mean, he knew it was going to be built. Could he have written a song? Well, most probably he did. And I think this is that song. Let's read it. It was used at the dedication of the temple. Or was it used at his palace, the house of David? I think it's the temple we're talking about. It has a lot of opposites in it. Okay. Just as you go through it, you'll see them. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. I'm sorry. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave and hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. That's why we call it resurrection psalm. You've brought my soul from the grave. I don't know what you call it. I call it resurrection. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Okay. Sing unto the Lord, all ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So that's why we talk about opposites here. His anger endureth for a moment. So we have anger and we have favor, okay? His anger endureth for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So we have weeping, we have joy, we have night, we have morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. When he's talking about his mountain, is he talking about his kingdom? Very often in Scripture, mountains are kings. I think that's what we're looking at. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Okay, we have mourning, we have dancing. We have sackcloth, we have gladness. Again, opposites. To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. So you wonder, you're saying, okay, I don't know. How is that a dedication of the temple song? I'm not exactly seeing the correlation my own self, but you remember when it says those little things, okay, I want to give this instruction again. I know I've said it in the past. Praise for deliverance. That's the editors of the Scofield Bible. That's their notation. That's what they're saying this psalm is about, which may or may not be so. But when it says a psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David, that's scripture. I know it's not verse 1, but that is scriptural. That's in the manuscripts. That's in... that's considered the word of God. Like even Psalm 29, a psalm of David, that's scripture. Verse 28, a psalm of David, that's scripture. Sometimes it gives the, like, I'll tell you, Psalm 3, right? A psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. That's scripture. That's not an editor's note. That's what the Bible has to say about that. So remember, when you read those, what you're reading is scripture. So it says a psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. Now you have to determine in your own mind if that's talking about David's house, David's palace, or if it's talking about the house of David, the temple. I think it's the temple. That's my thinking. But again, neither one of we're guessing a little bit, and neither one of us are a heretic if we take opposite views. Okay, that's it. We'll end with that tonight. We're keeping this at a usable level. I'm trying to keep it 40 to 45 minutes. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for the many blessings found in it, Lord. Again, we would not memorize the Psalms, just know them, just live in them, just that they would be just, I mean, because we live all these things out, Lord. We want our sins to be forgiven. We want us you to deliver us from our enemies. We want to exalt you and praise you and sing songs about you and worship you, Lord. So, help us to be the people you want us to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace and peace.